Greetings, and welcome to Episode 2 of the NAC 2020 Seminar Series, Laboring with a Multi-Generational Workforce. NAC would like to thank these generous sponsors for making these podcasts possible. The Coca-Cola Company, Ferrera and Ferraro, Gold Medal Products Company, The Hershey Company, Load King, Pepsi, Rico's, Royal Corporation, and Vistar. Now please welcome your host, NAC Director of Education and Adjunct Professor at the University of Memphis, Kemmons Wilson School of Hospitality and Resort Management, Mr. Larry Etter.
Hi, and welcome back to the NAC Regional Seminar Series 2020, Laboring in the Multi-Generational Workforce. As you know, in our first segment of this presentation, we discussed the five different types of generations and what those age groups have grown up knowing and learning and trying to integrate into their work environment, their purpose for working. We want to go into a little more depth in this next series and show some of the similarities and some of the differences between those individuals and how they respond to each other and what they kind of look for. Up on the screen, you'll see two columns. One describes millennials as researchers have done their surveys. The other column is Generation Z. So we're looking at individuals that represent somewhere around 60% of the workforce that we're dealing with today. Millennials, for example, don't just work for a paycheck, or so they say. They're looking for a particular purpose, where Gen Z, money and job security are their top priorities. What you're going to find as we proceed is that maybe there are some things that people say in a survey and then other things that maybe they really want, or what is the base of their workforce. In this particular case, I'm going to say that based on our surveys and our actual interviews with employees, Gen Z is actually telling the truth in this particular case. Millennials, they aren't pursuing job satisfaction. They're pursuing their own development. In other words, they want advancement and they want growth. Generation Z, they want to accumulate rewarding experiences. Again, it's somewhat similar to what millennials are doing. They want rewarding experiences, they want growth, they want upward mobility. Millennials, they don't want bosses, they want coaches. And I think you're going to see this as we move forward and we see the live interviews. These two generations right here want people to help them grow. They want coaches, and the management style of the superiors or the supervisors is very important to both of these generations. Millennials, they don't want annual reviews, they want ongoing conversations. And I think we heard this in the last segment of our seminar. Communication is vitally important. Not only do millennials want that, but Gen Z also wants constant communication. They want constant evaluation on how they're performing. They don't want to fix their weaknesses, they want to develop their strengths. And this kind of reminds me of the book of Tom Rath. Knowing your strengths and working on your strengths is a very, very positive aspect of this generation and what they want to do. They know they have weaknesses, but what they want to do is extend and grow and strengthen whatever their strengths are in the workplace. Gen Z, they were raised during the Great Recession. In other words, the 2007-2008 era, and they believe in winners and losers. In other words, you succeed or you don't succeed. And so they want to know the score at all times. So they want constant communication as well. They want to have the tools to win, either through developing their own weaknesses or developing their strengths. They really don't care how they do that. Millennials, they have sort of a collaborative mentality. Everybody pitches in and everybody works together. And we talked about this in the last segment. This is the group that they were groupies. They like to work in teams. They like being together. Gen Z, though, they are very, very competitive. And 72% of Gen Z say they are competitive during doing the same job. And so, in other words, this relates back to winning and losing. They're very competitive, and they've grown up with keeping score. And then finally, it's not just their job, it's their life. That's what millennials say. And so they're developing their life around what their job is. And those two things seem to be merging. That's what researchers say. Gen Z, salary and benefits and how they can advance are pivotal. Again, you're going to hear that. There are three components that we saw that are very, very important for this generation. One, compensation, two, advancement, and three, the management or management style that they work for or work with. So they're a different kind of generation. But as we talk about this, what we're seeing is direct similarities to their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. So we did some research, or I've done some research, and I wanted to find out what the different generations believe is extremely important for them in the workplace. And to do that, I came up with seven different attributes, or I looked at seven different attributes that researchers have kind of uncovered. The attributes are on the left-hand column. Yeah, they are opportunity to learn, the quality of management, type of work, the possibility for advancement, compensation with health benefits, the ability to encourage or be creative in the workplace, and then have a fun workplace. Now, if you look up at the different generations, you have the silent generation, the boomers, the Gen X, the millennials, and Gen Z. Those would be the five generations. Let's look at opportunity to learn first. Opportunity to learn for the silent generation was only 38% of the population found that to be extremely important. As we scroll to the right, you can see that boomers found it 40%. Gen Z thought 45% was extremely important with the opportunity to learn. Millennials at 58% and Gen Z at 63%. This correlates directly with age. In other words, the youngest generation, Gen Z, finds it extremely important to have the opportunity to learn. In other words, they want to grow themselves and they want to get stronger and develop their strengths or weaknesses. Millennials are not too far behind that. What might be interesting is to look at the silent generation and the boomers. At their age, they're not necessarily interested in learning all that much anymore. While it has some importance of 38% or 40%, it's not the driving force for them. Probably because of their age. They've already gone to college. Most of a good portion of these people might have master's degrees. They've been in the workplace for 20, 30, 40 years. And so they've already gained a significant amount of knowledge and experience. Quality of management. This is very, very important here. What's interesting about quality of management is if we go from the silent generation all the way to the Gen Z generation, look, it's very, very consistent in the numbers. In other words, 55% of the silent generation find that to be extremely important, quality of management. 57% for baby boomers, 51% for Gen X, 55% for millennials, and 57% for Gen Z. What this shows is that all five generations are within a few percentage points of finding quality of management, good leadership as something that's extremely important in their workplace. The type of work that they do? Well, Silent says 39% say that's important. Baby boomers say 55% say it's extremely important. Gen Z, 47%. Millennials, 55. Gen Z, 56. Again, the Silent Generation, probably because of their age and because of their situation as far as income, that the type of work really isn't all that important. Just give me a nice job. I'll do what you ask me to do. I'll fulfill the responsibilities and move forward. But these other generations still find the type of work very important. Remember, we talked about Gen X. Gen X being the slackers or the lazy ones. They happen to be one of the lower percentages as far as how important the type of work is, because they've probably been given so much, and I don't want to call them spoiled, but in fact they have been guarded, protected, and given so much that the type of work they do is not all that important. They know that they can fall back, or they have experienced the fact that they can fall back on their parents and grandparents to take care of them. Whereas Millennials and Gen Z find it very important that they have work they like to do, and it supports whatever their life mission is. Advancement. Well, this correlates directly with age again. So the Silent Generation, only 21% find that important, that they can advance in their job. Again, probably due to their age. At this particular point, they're in retirement, they're doing supplemental work, and so for them to advance, it's not all that important as a whole. 80%, 79% don't think it's important to advance. Boomers, again, at their age, most of them are nearing retirement or in the retirement phase, and so therefore it's not all that important. So some 61%, okay, if we take the inverse, 61% don't find it all that important that they get advancement at this particular point in their careers. Gen X, 42%, Millennials, 50%, and Gen Z, 69%. So again, let's go back to what we've already talked about. Millennials and Gen Z find it very important that they have an opportunity for advancement. And you're going to see this as we go forward with these comments in this pilot group. As they sit around and discuss their jobs, it comes up time and time again. You know, I want advancement. I'm stuck in a position. I've been doing the same job for 3 years or 4 years, and that's the key component. And it kind of falls into the fact, specifically in recreational food service, there's only a limited number of positions in the hierarchy, so to speak, in the organizational chain. So, for example, if an individual works for a family company that owns movie theaters, well, of course, the patriarch of the family is going to be the president, and the matriarch is going to be the vice president, and the brother is going to be another vice president. And so those three or four positions are automatically eliminated for advancement. Then you'll have district managers. Well, those district managers have been there 10 or 12 or 14 years. They're not going anywhere. So how does a theater manager grow or advance in that kind of environment? It's very difficult.
It's time to take a break and thank featured sponsor, the Coca-Cola Company, for its ongoing commitment and generosity to the concessions and hospitality industry. The Coca-Cola Company is the number one beverage company in the world, with over 500 sparkling and still brands, and nearly 3,900 beverage choices. And now, back to Larry.
We come down to the next attribute. It says compensation. The Silent Generation, the Boomers, Gen X, Millennials, and Gen Z all rate this very, very high. Silent rates it very, very high because I assume that if they're going to get out of bed and go to work, they want to get paid. But what researchers have told us over the past few years is that compensation isn't the driving force for these individuals. They're looking for the other attributes within a company and what can they offer. And in this particular case, I think I can substantially say that the Silent Generation and the Boomers, even at their age, still find compensation is very, very important. Gen Z, Millennials, and Gen X all find earning very, very high. Encourages creative contributions. Now, this is interesting. The silent generation has so few people that find this important, it doesn't even register. Boomers, at this particular point in their life, at their age, don't find adding creative juices or contributions as all that important. It's noticeable that you look at the silent generation, the boomers, the Gen X, and the millennials, all don't have a very high respect or desire, find this extremely important in their job place, except Gen Z. Gen Z is, this is where they're completely different than all the other generations. Gen Z at this particular point wants to have some participation in the creative art of the job that they're doing. Finally, a fun place to work. Now, we've heard from researchers time and time again that we have to find fun in the workplace so that people will come to work in our locations. Well, guess what? The silent generation doesn't even register. Boomers, fun place to work doesn't really matter. 76% don't even rate this as being extremely important. Gen X doesn't even register. Gen X doesn't even care if it's a fun place to work or not. Millennials, 23%. If we take the inverse, it says 77% of millennials don't really rate that as important. It's a fun place to work. And Gen Z, it follows kind of in the same lines. It's 69%. So what we found here is that there are three probably common attributes that people want. First of all, they want a quality management. They want good management, good leadership. Next, the next generation, they want advancement. Clearly, they want to have a chance to grow their strengths and what their capabilities are and their position. And compensation. Compensation almost rates the highest among all of them. So all this stuff we hear about from research and so forth and so on, compensation, advancement, and quality management are the three top things that the people want. Let's listen to what our pilot group had to say about the very subject of quality of management.
Kind of put forward is, I'm gonna give you two options. Raise your hand for which option you think it is. Okay. The poor performing employee is protected by federal government and laws, or the poor performing employee is protected by nonchalant management capabilities.
Note, when you watch that video, was it the federal government protecting the non-producing, non-performing employee, or was it management that was not performing and holding those people accountable for their jobs and their responsibility? All 12 people within that pilot test raised their hand at option two. It's the quality of management. Now, we've talked about the generation of employees that are in the workforce. I want to change gears here and say that there's a different type of employees that are out there working. The first type that we'll look at is full-time. These are what is known as balance sheet talent. In other words, they're getting salaries or 40 hours a week, and their salaries are fixed, and therefore they're on the balance sheet and a part of the P&L statement that is what I'll call non-controllable, because they're going to get paid regardless. Now, in this particular scenario, you're going to find two primary age groups. The first one is the baby boomers. The second is Gen X. Millennials are entering that right now. So those would be the three kind of generational workforce employees that fall into full-time employees. The next type of employee is what we call shared employees. These are considered part-time or partnership talents. Usually they're sharing
their time with other activities. So, for example, if we looked at the silent generation, they would probably fall into this category because they're semi-retired, they're kind of working just to get some additional income, but they don't need full-time work. Millennials and Gen Z probably fall into this category as well because they are probably sharing their time with school, could be high school or college, could be they're going to get their master's degree, but the younger generation, the people just entering the workforce, typically fall into the shared type of employee. Then we have what we call the temp employee. These are really borrowed talent, as these employees kind of reside on someone else's balance sheet. For example, temp agencies or manpower. We call somebody, we need an extra person to work in accounting during tax season. Or we need a few extra people to help move furniture or unload trailers or those kinds of things. So we need people that can have muscle and strength, and they're going to be doing physical jobs. So those kinds of people are what we call temporary employees, and they're on somebody else's balance sheet, but we pay that agency for their services. The fourth type of employee that we use in our business is freelance. Now, most of the freelance people are individual sole proprietors, and so they may run a graphic company or they may run an IT company, and these are people that we sort of need in our business. They're important for marketing and our own IT department software, managing that, but they're not necessarily somebody we use 100% of the time. And so we source that work out to a freelance group. And then the last group that I'll talk about is the volunteers. These are people that are incentive-based, they're project-based, and they're what we call open source talent. These people we see more in stadiums, arenas, colleges and universities, and their athletic departments because of the limited amount of events that they have. You wouldn't see many of the volunteers working in, I'll say, a movie theater that's open 365 days a year, but more like a college stadium where they only have 7 or 8 events a year, and you need, I'll say, 500 employees. You would probably lean towards using volunteer groups and pay them a commission based on what their sales are. Let's look at each one of these and how they might work together in the different generations. So full-time people become mentors. And while they have a full-time job, most of the people, their subordinates, are going to fall into the shared or part-time employees. So these full-time employees, and I mentioned that they'd be baby boomers, Gen X, maybe some millennials, would typically then become coaches, managers, for the next generation following through and coming up in that scenario. Shared employees are those employees that probably don't have as much what I'll call ownership in the corporate culture. In other words, they come in, they do work, they want to get their paycheck, but they have other things that are priorities in their life. Their job isn't quite the priority of what, say, a baby boomer, a millennial, or a Gen X. Temp employees are really just used, again, on a temporary basis or as needed. So these employees, again, don't have what I'll call ownership or a full understanding of what the corporate culture is. They may work a day, they may work a week, they may work 6 weeks, and they're out of there. They're only there to perform a particular task at what they're good at. Could be accounting, could be physical labor, could be, I'm thinking like in catering for stadiums, in the suites, maybe you need ice carvings or you need chocolate fountains or some of those kinds of things that are specialized, you could use temporary help. So these employees are really going to be in and out, and kind of it gets into a situation where these type of employees can be annoying to full-time and shared employees because they feel some ownership, some partnership. They feel like they're developing the corporate culture, and now we have these outsiders that just step in and then step out. Freelance, they're typically liked by all the full-time employees because they're these are problem solvers. The freelance employees are typically the ones that come in, solve your problem, and then they leave. And it's almost like a doctor coming in and fixing your computer for you, or a special consultant that can come in and develop a marketing program for you, or at least exhibit your concepts and your ideas. And then volunteers, this is a mess because the volunteer groups could be all of the different generations in one. So let's say that you have at a stadium, you have a high school band group. You could have grandpa, you could have a brother, you could have a sister, you could have an uncle. You could have five different generations all working together in the same concession operation. And in that particular sense, there's a little bit of, it's not my job, it's your job. And the loss of responsibility with this group, or feeling of responsibility with this group, is very apparent. So as we went forward, we started to talk to 12 separate individuals varying in all demographics. So as you watch these videos, please note that you're going to see Gen Z, you're going to see Gen X, you're going to see Millennials, you're going to see Baby Boomers. The one person in here is on the edge of being a silent. You're going to see male, female, African American, Caucasian, Asian. So there's a wide variety of demographics that are going to be responding to these 10 questions. The first question we asked the group was, why do you need to work? Second question, what do you expect from working? The third question, how do you find satisfaction from working? The fourth question, what makes you recommend your workplace to other people? The fifth question, if you could make a change, what would you change in your workplace? Number six, do you get the tools you need from the workplace? Number seven, what makes you angry at work? You'd be surprised. Number eight, what responsibilities do you have at creating a team? Number nine, is your input value? And then number 10, what is the communication avenue in your workplace? Those were 10 simple questions we asked, and we got responses. And so we'll show you some of those responses as we go forward in this segment.
Let's take another quick break and hear from featured sponsor, The Hershey Company. For more than a century, Hershey's iconic brands have been built on a foundation of community investment and connections between people around the world. Hershey continues to build a legacy as they invest in the people and snacks of the future. And now, back to Larry.
So, when we ask the question, what do you need from your work? A, I need money. B, benefits. C, it's a hobby. D, I need security. Or E, I was told to get a job. Now what we told the group is, you don't have to select just one, but pick out the ones that you find that are very important to you, okay? And I'd like you to follow along with me as I do this, because I want you to fill out your own survey. As a matter of fact, if you'd like, write these questions down and hold your own pilot group. In other words, bring in a variety of generation and demographics and let them all sit around and kind of fill out this same form. Question number two, what do you expect from working? A, compensation in dollars. B, increased experience. C, formalized appreciation. D, profit sharing. E, benefits. Number three, how do you find satisfaction from working? A, no complicated task. B, recognition from my supervisors or peers. C, increased incentives / pay raises. D, working with talented peers. Or E, gaining real life experience. Question number four, what makes you recommend your workplace to others? A, friendly coworkers. B, good bosses. C, fruitful challenges. D, high pay. E, great benefits. F, free schedules. I can create my own work schedules. Time off. Number five, what would you change in your workplace? A, pay raises. B, a more sanitary work environment. C, communication paths. D, number of coworkers. E, uniforms. F, customer relations or public relations, how we get along with customers. So let's go over these five questions and I'll tell you what our respondents said. Question number one, when we ask, need money, we had 12 out of 12 people raise their hands. B, need benefits, no one raised their hand. C, need a hobby, no one raised their hand. D, need security, two people raised their hands. And E, was told to get a job, nobody raised their hand. Why do I point this out? Out of all of these, they all responded, need money. They're working for compensation. Number two, what do you expect from working? Compensation in dollars, 12 out of 12. Increased experiences, we had about 3 out of 12. Formalized appreciation, about 3 out of 12. Profit sharing, we had about 4 out of 12. And that's going to be interesting because this is one of the topics where you'll hear some discussion. Benefits, about 3 out of 12. So if you remember in question one, we asked that need benefits and we didn't have any respondents. But in question number two, we had 3 people say benefits. So benefits is a factor, but it's again, money or pay is the overwhelming response out of all 12 participants. How do you find satisfaction from working? No complicated work task. We had 1 or 2. Recognition from my superiors or peers. We had a few hands raised, I think 3. C, increased incentives, pay raises. Would you believe it? 12 out of 12. Working with talented peers, we had 2. And gaining real life experiences, we had about 4. Again, the one question in 3 that everyone responded to in a very high rate was compensation, incentives, pay raises. Number 4, what makes you recommend the workplace to others? A, friendly coworkers, we had about 3. Good bosses, we had about 8 out of 12. Fruitful challenges was about 2 out of 12. High pay, 12 out of 12. Are you following the trend here? Great benefits, we had about 3. And then scheduling time off was kind of important. That was about a 6. But again, pay seems to be, or compensation is number 1. And quality of management here, good bosses rated very, very high. Almost 75-80% of the people that were participating raised their hand under that one. What would you change in the workplace? Pay rates, 12 out of 12 hands. Are you surprised? We have a trend. More sanitary work environment, I think we had 1. Communication pass, we had 9 out of 12 raise their hands. Number of coworkers, we had a few people raise their hand there, I think it was 3. Uniforms, no one raised their hand. Customer relations, public relations, we had 2 raise their hands. We can find that in the first 5 questions, those things that were most important, again, relate to pay, quality of management, and you're going to see in these next questions, advancement's very important. Do you get the tools you need from the workplace? A, communication is good. B, training to improve performance. We had like 1 hand on each one of those. Assistance from supervisors immediately. Didn't have a lot of support there. Supplies and technology. The answer there was about 6 out of 12. Equipment, it was about 10 out of 12. And other, we really didn't have any comment there. What makes you angry at work? A, ignoring me. We had like 2 hands out of 12. Wasn't very high. Dumb task went to 11 out of 12. Repetitive questions, 10 out of 12. What we kind of learned from that was that the subordinates don't really pay attention to the supervisors. And so you give them a task and you give them explanation and then they come back and ask dumb questions. D, angry customers. Every person raised their hand. So customer relations here is really important because what we're finding out from these people that participated was that it's really important to them that they have good customer service. And they feel offended when customers are rude and they don't like that in the workplace. Micromanaging or constant supervision. We actually didn't have many hands raised for that. It was 3. Not allowing me to be the best that I can be. And that didn't really have many hands raised either. I think it was 3. And then other, and that was 0. What responsibility do you have at creating a team? In other words, the question was directed to the group to see if they feel ownership or that they have responsibility in the workplace. A, communication. Everyone raised their hand, all 12. Again, going back to the fact that we're seeing these next generations tell us communication, communication, communication. Evaluation, evaluation, evaluation. Tell me how I'm doing more often. Don't leave me out there for 6 months or a year and don't give me some feedback on how I'm performing. Doing my job well. We had about 10 out of 12 raise their hand there, so they feel responsibility. Punctuality, all of them raised their hand. It was 12 out of 12. Terrific attitudes, we had 10 out of 12. Accepting responsibility, again, 10 out of 12. So this question here seems to point out that those individuals in this particular case study, this pilot group, they all felt some responsibility for creating the team and what they have to do to be a good example to their peers. Number 4, is your input value? 1, yes. We had about 5 hands raised. It was about 50%. B, sometimes. We had about 8 hands raised, 75%. Probably not. We had about 4 hands raised. D, no. No one raised their hand there. And then E, I don't care. I don't offer suggestions. And nobody raised their hand there. They just laughed. That was the humorous question, I guess, the response. Number 5, what is the communication avenue in your workplace? A, it's always available. We had about 5 hands raised. Again, somewhere around 50%, 45%. B, always written document. That was
kind of about five hands. Demonstrations, i.e. training, we had about two hands raised. So in other words, they don't do a lot of hands-on kind of training demonstrations in the workplace, or they don't see it. Okay, some written, some verbal, some demonstrations. And we had about six hands raised, about 50% again. Very little communication. We didn't have any hands raised for that. And then constant complaining. We didn't have any hands raised for that. Again, this communication avenue, you can tell, you know, is it always verbal? Is it always written? Is it varied? The response from the pilot group was varied, and nothing was really complete or, I want to say, documented. So based on the fact that we've heard earlier from these folks in their responses how important communication is, that looks like something we can work on with all demographic groups. Improving the communication, whether it be verbal, whether it be written, whether it be demonstrations, or a combination of all of the above. So, what we're going to do here is we're going to take a break. We're going to conclude this segment. What we're going to do in the next segment when we come back is we're going to talk about the common traits all of these employees have, and it's going to be very simple. You're going to find out that what they want are three key ingredients. And you'll hear from the respondents and the participants, and then I'll give you whatever these three common traits are that everybody expects. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today, and thanks again to our sponsors, the Coca-Cola Company, Ferrera and Ferraro, Gold Medal Products Company, The Hershey Company, Lode King, Pepsi, Rico's, Royal Corporation, and Vistar. Also, a special thank you to University of Memphis Kemmons Wilson School of Hospitality and Resort Management for their participation and support. Coming soon, Episode 3 of Laboring with a Multi-Generational Workforce. This podcast has been a production of the National Association of Concessionaires, NAC, where food meets fun.